In the previous session, we spoke about vision. And I want to speak on that again in this service. Since January, I said to you, spending time with the Lord, I felt that the Lord is saying to us as a church that this should be the year where we realign or align ourselves again with His Word, with His will, with His purpose. And since January, I'm trying to bring across what God wants me to speak to us as a church, which I believe is very fundamental, important things for God. And God has keep on showing me stuff that is important to Him that He wants you to know is important, should be important to you. Because these are the things that Satan understands is important to God that He's using to change in your life. And when He can change these things, then He can deviate you from your alignment with God and His Word. I said to you in previous sermons that Satan, you have an enemy. God, Jesus, is not your enemy. There is an enemy that you can't see, which is called Satan. Jesus has given you the power to overcome. God is not your enemy. God is love. God is life. And God is truth. And God wants you to have life. He wants you to have truth. And He wants you to be love. And God wants you to know that the things that's important to Him, the enemy understands, is very important to God for a purpose. And He will do whatever He can do to infiltrate those areas to get us not to be aligned with what God wants to do or what God's busy doing, so that He can derail our walks with God. And since then, we were speaking about the importance of viewpoints, how God wants the church to have the same viewpoint. The Bible says the same mind, speaking the same things, having one spirit, one mind, having one heart, having one action, being in one accord, and how important it is for us as God's people to have those same viewpoints about God, His will, and His kingdom. And then also, how important your heart is. That if you don't care about your heart, Satan is after your heart. And the Bible says that all the issues of your life flows from your heart. So if your heart becomes hardened towards God, a church, people, a relationship, ministers, then Satan can turn your heart away from where God wants your heart to be. And you and I need to take care of the treasures of our heart. Make sure what we treasure in our hearts is in line with what God wants us to treasure in our hearts. So today I want to talk from the topic vision. Vision. I spoke to the leaders yesterday, and I want to speak to all of you that are members of our church. And if you're not a member here, then this message is for you as well. You have to understand the importance of vision in your life. And God wants us to have vision. God wants us to have a godly vision. The Bible says Jesus came to give us a hope and a future. He came to give us a vision of a brighter future. That is in store for every one of God's people. But before we get a vision, you need to understand the most important thing in life is not to have a vision for your life, but to have the vision that is from the kingdom of heaven. You can have a vision for your business. You can have a vision for your marriage. You can have a vision for your life. But the most important thing, that even more important than that, is to have God's true vision as the foundation of your life. If you set out God's true vision, which I'm going to talk about, as the foundation of your life, then I believe that God will birth forth from that godly vision for your marriage, for your business, and for your life. And don't get me wrong, God wants you to have a vision for your marriage, your life, your children, your business, and everything. But I have found in the short time walking with God that so many of God's people suddenly have visions for everything except having the true vision of heaven in their lives. And that defeats the purpose of you and I being the church. You and I need to understand that we are here for the sole purpose to fulfill heaven's vision for our lives, to fulfill God's vision here on earth. The Bible speaks about a true vision and true blindness. What is a true vision and what is true blindness? In the book of John chapter 9, we find Jesus speaking here to a man that he just healed. He healed a man. The man appeared in front of a religious people, the religious scholars, and they ridiculed him for what happened to him. And as he left their presence, Jesus came across him again, and Jesus started to speak to him. Now, I want to read with you because this will give you a picture of what true vision is. Jesus heard what they had, that they have cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." Friends, I want to tell you that true vision is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The true vision from heaven is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came to this man. He just healed him, but he didn't leave him there. He went back to find him and to reveal to him what is true vision. He said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He said, "Who is the Son of God?" He says, "This one that healed you and this one that is speaking to you, he is the Son of God." The man looked at it, he had the revelation, and he believed and he worshiped Jesus. Now Jesus went to the Pharisees that saw this thing happen, and they said, "But are we then blind?" And Jesus said, "Because you think that you are not a sinner, and because you think you don't need God, you are a sinner." He said, "I have come to let people see what is heaven's true vision." So friends, the true vision from heaven is the following: that every person on this planet should believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That is the true vision from heaven. True blindness is the absolute opposite of that. True blindness is when you think you are right, but you ain't. When you think you are not a sinner in need of Christ's forgiveness, that is true blindness. And as long as you stay in that position, God Almighty cannot save you. You cannot save yourself, and your backside is on the way to hell. And God wants you to know that the only way that you can have sight and vision for your life is to have true vision. And when you have Jesus as person, you have the true vision from heaven. You have the true vision from heaven. Why are we here as God's people in this city and in this nation? Why has God brought many of you from different parts of this world to this city and to this nation? Why have many of you been born into this nation? And why are you today in this church? Why are we here? I want to tell you, there's a purpose for all of this. We are here to bring the true vision from heaven to this city and to this nation. We are not here to create a holy huddle. We are not here to create a place where you can come and hear how blessed you are. Yes, that is all stuff that follow the true vision. That is all stuff that follow the true message from heaven. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to have all these things. But the purpose of why we are here is to bring the true vision of heaven to this city and to this nation. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? It is a good question that you need to ask yourself. As long as you are in this church, you have to constantly ask yourself, why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? We do what we do in this church, in every church service, in every prayer meeting, no matter what we do. We do the sole purpose when everything we do is to preach the true message and give people the true vision that is from heaven. We are here to bring the true vision from heaven to this city and to this nation. Yes, there are many other churches that do what they want to do and do what they believe God has called them to do. But you have to understand that when you are part of this vision and part of this church, we are here to preach the true vision to this city and to this nation. And some of us don't understand that. Many of us as members don't really understand that this church is not here for you. Yes, it is a haven for all of us. It is a strong tower. It is a place of refuge for all of us. But you are not saved for your little life. You are saved for God to use you in this city and in this nation. And some of you need to align yourself again with what is God's purpose for your life and God's true vision for mankind. The Bible says over here in Proverbs 29:18 in the Amplified Bible, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation from God, the people perish. Where there is no redemptive revelation from God, the people perish. That falls in line with the true vision. This whole world is busy perishing. The whole world was perishing till Jesus came and died on a cross 2,000 years ago so that we can have life and life more abundantly. Jesus came to reveal the true vision from heaven. He came to preach the message of the redemptive revelation of the Son of God. And you and I need to get our backsides in line with what Jesus did. And Jesus is still doing today through His church to preach the true redemptive message to the church, to the world. You and I are here. Why are we here? Why are we part of His church? Why are you born again? You are born again to preach the true vision to the city and to this nation. That is a message of redemption to this nation and to the city. You are here to preach that message, that God has come in the flesh, that He has died on the cross so that you and I can choose to have eternal life, that whosoever believe, God will save. There is no vision. Where there is no redemptive revelation of God, people die. The Bible says they run like wild horses. That's no wonder some of you are like headless chickens. Your life is going in a circle, all in a circle, all in a circle. Because you hear that you should have vision, and a vision brings life to your life. But now we have all kinds of visions for our lives, but we don't follow the vision from heaven. So none of those visions are true because they don't come from true vision. True vision is the following: to preach the redemptive message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He can save and people need to turn to Him. That is the message and the vision from heaven. And if that is your foundation, then have a vision for your life, have a vision for your marriage, have a vision for every other thing that you do. But unless that is the foundation, none of the above is true vision that God wants you to have. Too many of God's people have all kinds of visions, built their own lives, built their own marriages, built everything own, except following God's vision from heaven. And God wants you to have all that, but do not have that and lose sight of the foundation of everything. Are you still with me? We are here to preach the redemptive revelation of God to this nation and to this city so that people can stop perishing and go to hell. Jesus came, commanded us to bring sight to the blind. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, I think it's 4, I might be corrected. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to say, give sight to the blind, to heal the deaf ears. Why are you here today? Why do you have the Holy Spirit? It is not to build a better life. It is not to build a great business. That is all fine and it's all great. God wants you to have that. But if your sole purpose with the anointing that you have is not to preach the redemptive revelation of the Son of God to a city and to a nation, then you and I are still in blindness. And people will keep on perishing because the church is not preaching the true vision from heaven. It's the blind leading the blind. See, Jesus has commanded us to bring sight to the blind. Jesus has given you an anointing to preach the message so that people can see that He is the Son of God. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. Do you think the vision has changed? The vision has never changed. The vision is still the same. God, what wants you to have is the true vision for your life. The true vision is you and I are called to preach the message, the gospel of Jesus, that will reveal to people that there's redemption in the name of the Son of God. That is the message. Are you preaching that message? Is that the main vision for your life? And every now and then, God has to bring back His people. God will raise up prophets and men of God that will speak forth the oracles of God, that will realign His people with what it is all about. It is so easy to lose track. It is so easy to bolt and get consumed by a vision for everything except the house of God, except redemption through the name of Jesus. And God wants to bring us back. God is calling us. He's saying, I have commanded you to do this. I have commissioned you. I have created you. The Bible says that Christ has created us and made us the workmanship of His Son. So who is God going to use? Harry? Who is God going to use? Who is God going to use? It's no wonder that God writes in the Old Testament about the nation Israel, which He has chosen, which He has brought forth, and He said, they limit the Holy One of Israel. You limit all that I want to do. And today, I have found in my short walk with God, and I'm not angry or anything, I have just noticed this, that God's people are the people that is limiting the Holy One of Israel. They don't follow God's ways. They don't get onto God's vision and purpose. They live all kinds of lives except what He has called them to live. He created them to be His workmanship, but we are working all kinds of other ships except on His ship. God has created you. The Bible says you became a slave of righteousness. You were a slave of sin. Now you are a slave of righteousness. You have no rights. I know that you don't hear this every often in other places, but let me tell you what the Word of God is saying to you. Because some people, preachers preach to you all that you want to hear, and they don't preach to you the Word. God is saying, you are a slave. The moment you become a child of God, you became a slave of righteousness. Therefore, you call Him Lord. You don't call Him Lord for anything except I am a subject in your service. And then we can easily get deceived. So easily. God comes into our lives, changes us, restores us, gives us eternal life, dies for us on the cross. But because your vision has changed, everything else becomes important. Your life, you come to church, you have eyes that just find fault all the way. You just see the dead stuff, the things that's not in line. Build your marriage, build. All these things need to be built. God wants you to have a great business. God wants you to have a great marriage. God wants you to have a great life. God wants you to have all these things. He wants you to build these things, have vision for it. But not at the cost of losing what is the true vision from heaven. The true vision is for us to preach the gospel, which is the redemptive message and revelation of the Son of God. That means there's only one name under heaven that man can be saved. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will go to hell. You are not going to go to any other place. You are not coming back. You are not going to die. You're going to live forevermore. And you are going to live with your flames and your backside in hell. And God doesn't want that. Nobody wants that. God wants you to look unto Him and realize that He's the Son of God that came to lay down His life for you so that you can have eternal life. Give Jesus praise. You see, family, we are commissioned. We are not just commanded. We are not just called to be His workmanship, but we are commissioned as His ambassadors here on earth. If you are an ambassador, you carry a mantle. You carry authority. And God wants you to know that it doesn't come without responsibility. When you are here as an ambassador, you are here as a representative of the kingdom that you are from. That means everything you do, you don't build your own empire, you build His empire. You don't fight for your own causes, you fight for His causes. And you are a representative. He said, I made you ambassadors. He didn't say, listen, I made the pastors or the evangelists or the prophets or the apostles. I didn't make them. I made every one of you ambassadors of my kingdom. And you and I need to study that. You want the jacket of an ambassador? Then you need to take up the responsibility of an ambassador. You need to get the mindset of an ambassador. You and I are called and commanded and commissioned to do heaven's work and to see that the true vision from heaven that is given down from father to son, from father to son, from son to brother, from son to brother, from son to brother gets preached in this city and in this nation. We are called to be the sight. The salt and the light of the city and this nation. That is the vision for your life. And I'm a true believer that when you put God's vision in front of you, if you build from the foundation of the true vision, then God will bring forth all kinds of visions for your life. And that you don't have to do much for God to make those things possible. Is there people here that find it very difficult to see the vision of their lives come to pass? Anybody here? You've put out a vision, but you find it is a hard thing to get it going. Anybody that's truthful here? Any real Christians that's truthful? Put up your hand. We all have a vision, but sometimes we find it is tough to get it going. Listen, forget about your vision. Get back to the true vision. Amen. Go and preach the gospel to people. Get them saved. And by my God has promised that if you build His church, if you build His kingdom, then He will supply in all your need. He will make the impossible possible. We are commissioned to be ambassadors. For who do we do the things we do? Another good question that you need to ask yourself, because some of you are wacko. You need to ask yourself these questions. Why do we do what we do? Why do we serve like we serve? Why do we give like we give? Why do you give to a church? You don't give to pay my Range Rover. I am paying my own Range Rover. And if I want to buy 5 of them, I will. And I don't need your permission. But why do you give? Why do you do what you do? To build a church, you both build with monopoly money. They don't take flat washes. You can't come to Cineworld and say, listen, we are a charity. Do your charitable deed. Provide for God's work. Do you know what it takes to plant a church? 7 years ago, I said that this church will go from 500 into thousands. I said it. I said we will have multiple campuses in London. I said to you that we're going to plant churches all over the UK and all over Europe. We are doing exactly that today. This church has grown from 500 to over 3,500 people just in home cells. We have planted Amsterdam. We have planted Montpellier. We are now soon planting Edinburgh. We are soon planting a new campus in Northwest London. Amen. We are doing what we said we will do in the name of Jesus. So why do you then doubt what we do with your money? Who is God going to use to provide for His work? If you have your nose in this book, you will know that God always calls His people to build His house and to provide for His work. God doesn't use external people. Sometimes in the Old Testament, because His people were so hardened that they didn't give and provide for Him, He used unsaved people that were not part of His kingdom to build, to force His people back to go build His house and to provide for His house, to command to them like a law, you will provide and you will go back and build God's house. So right through the Bible, God used people. He used His workmanship. He used those He has chosen, the ones that He called His. So why do you even wonder? And why, if you are saved and you have an anointing, are you not excited to provide in God's work? Why are you still stealing from God Almighty? Wow, it's out. It's tight. You see, sin deceives us. Sin will get you to be born again and sleep around and think you go to heaven. You ain't going to go to heaven. You keep on with that, you ain't going. Sin will get you not to give in the house of God where you know you should. But then you steal from the Almighty God. The Bible says, not Tawbu, that all thieves will go to hell. Won't see the kingdom of heaven. When you study this book, the Bible says to you in the New Testament that you need to be aware of what happened to the people of old. The Bible says all their lives are examples for us to do things and us not to do things. Now, I've studied this book and I've found that every time you find kings that robbed the house of God, swift judgment came. They lost everything and eventually they lost their lives. No matter who they are. The Bible is full of good kings and bad kings. I have preached to you that sermon a few times. Good kings and bad kings. But every king that touched the things of God or God's house, they lost everything and their lives. Most of them. Now, if that doesn't scare you, child of God, because what you are keeping from God is His. Whatever is yours, that 90%, you do whatever you want with that. But what is His, I suggest you get the fear of God in you and give to Him what is His. If you are born again from the Spirit of Jesus, why do you still have the characters of Satan or characteristics of him? And that's very out. I know that you're not going to hear it anywhere else. I'm born again, I'm anointed, I love Jesus, I sing the fast songs, the slow songs, I get the goosebumps, I jump up and down, and I'm excited. But why do you have the characters of Satan? Why do you sleep around? Have sex outside of marriage. But you are the people of God. You rob God. You take away from Him what is His. That's what Satan does. The Bible says when Jesus comes into your life, He makes you generous inside and out. The Bible says when the Word of God came, the first thing that they saw was that He was generous inside and out. When they touched Him, they touched generosity and truth.
That's right.
It's amazing that we don't find so few of God's people today that have the characteristics of generosity and truth. If you are born, like the Bible says, from the Word of God, the Bible says you came out of the Word. That means that characteristic should be in your life. Why is it not there? That's a question that you need to ask yourself. But if you lose sight, if you don't have the revelation of the true vision of God for your life, it is very, very easy to put you on the wrong road. It's so very easy to get you to believe stuff that is contrary to God's word. And I tell you, as long as Jesus is on that throne, He's going to raise up men that is going to preach to you the oracles of God unashamedly, that is going to bring the true vision from heaven to you if you want to hear it and if you don't want to hear it. God is going to irritate you, because if I'm gone, then God is going to raise somebody up that will be more on fire than Tabu, that is going to be more in your life than myself, that is going to preach harder, because that's what I pray. Lord, when I go, I want to raise up an army that is 10 times more on fire than myself, that is 10 times more focused on the vision and the purposes of the kingdom. I do not understand how you can call yourself a Christian, but you don't have a heart for the lost. You are constantly complaining about the church, constantly finding fault, constantly discussing membership, constantly discussing pastors, constantly have an issue with giving.
That's right.
What spirit are you born from? What spirit? What vision are we following? Tabu's vision? Have you found the Facebook page saying Tabu Maree Ministries? I'm asking. I was one of you. But when he touched me, that's why I can't understand some of you. But when he touched me, everything changed. Everything changed. Why do we do what we do? Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Church, hey, brothers, sisters, look at me. You're not my representative. You are his. Whatever you do, in word and deed, I said it yesterday, if you go to the loo, do it unto him. If you go brush your teeth, do it unto him. Amen. If you have a conversation, do it unto him. Yes. If you are having a relationship, do it unto him. Amen. When you give, do it unto him. Yes. You are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of all lords. You are representing the one that is called the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is as bright as the brightest sun. The Bible says, as a million suns, as bright as he. If that doesn't fear you, I told you in the earlier service, you can play with many things in your life, but you do not play with the Most High God. You do not play with the God that can take, the Bible says, that can remove your spirit, soul, and body in a flash, in a splash, in a blink, in a flash. I'm trying to get to the flash. Don't play with him. Yes, Jesus is merciful, and yes, Jesus is love. But you also need to know that there's a side on him that you don't want to play with. And if you love him, your heart is to seek his will. Your heart is to seek his ways. Your heart is to know his word. Your heart is to seek after him. Your heart is to do everything as unto him, because you represent him here on earth. In Galatians chapter 3, 23, it says the following, work willingly whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Friends, whatever you do, if it is not from the foundation of willingly, it means nothing. The Bible says that Jesus willingly forsake all to came to earth. He did it willingly. He willingly died on the cross. He willingly gave his life. So you have to understand what he is after is a willing heart doing everything willingly. Whenever you, and I know that it is not always easy to serve willingly. Oh boy, I know how it feels to give, but it's not willingly. And when it comes to giving, you find that Jesus said, that you need to be faithful with unrighteous mammon. He said, you need to know that there's another God in your life. And when you don't nip him in the bud, the love of that God and what he loves is money. If that love takes hold of your heart, it's going to create all kinds of evil in your life. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of the thing that is the problem. And the Bible says that if you want the true riches from heaven, you have to be faithful with the thing called money. I truly believe that is why so many Christians are stupid. And they stay there. They don't have any revelation. They don't understand the word. They don't grow in the word. They don't see what God's vision is. They don't see what God's plan is. They run like wild horses. Why? Because they are unfaithful with unrighteous mammon. The true riches of heaven is to see what God sees, to understand what God understands, to do what God wants you to do, to have a vibrant relationship with Him, to pray often, to seek His face, to get revelation through the Word, to grow, to become influential in every area of your life, to go and make disciples, to go forward, to live a bigger life. That all comes from the true riches of heaven. So many of God's people are not faithful with unrighteous mammon. They're more in love with their stuff than in love with God's will. In Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Friends, that is what we do in this church. It's God's vision. And you and I need to get ourselves and others on board with God's program. God always speaks to His people through a vision or through visions. And a strong godly vision from God for your life is a great gift from Him. The Bible says salvation is a gift. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Then the Bible says the greatest gift after that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But I want to tell you that if you have a godly vision, the true vision from heaven, if that has been given to you through a church, you have received an amazing gift for your life. Because the true vision from heaven is to raise up people that will be His workmanship, His hands and His feet, that will preach the message of redemption to cities and to nations, and to reveal to people that Jesus is who He said He is, and that is the Son of God. And if you are part of that army that God is raising, then you need to realize, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Stop finding fault. Stop looking for an exit. Stop. Just go on your knees and thank Him and say, "Lord, once I was blind, but now I see. Once I thought this, but now I realize that there is a true vision in heaven that needs to be made available and to be made expressed to this nation, and that is the redemptive revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, so that people can believe and that they can have sight, so that we can bring sight to the blind and get people out of true blindness." Strong godly vision from God for your life is a great gift from God. Being part of a great heavenly vision is an amazing privilege. It's a privilege to sit here today. It's a privilege. Now, I know many of you don't feel and believe that it's a privilege to listen to me. But I promise you, one day we're going to sit in heaven. And you are going to thank me. Every time you're going to walk past me, you're going to say, "Tabu, thank you. Tabu, I promise you, I give you my word today, that one day you're going to, for eternity, when you walk past me, you're going to say, 'Bless you, brother. Bless you, brother.' I know that you don't want to hear what I'm telling you today, and it's out to the flesh and your carnal mindsets, but you have been busy building empires in your mind and empires for your carnal nature, which you think it is from God." Well, if you don't have the true vision evident in your life, I'm here to shatter those beliefs, shatter those visions, and bring you back and align you with God's word. God's word says there's a true vision. And that vision is for His people to bring the redemptive message and revelation of the Son of God to cities and to nations. And to whoever believes, then will be saved and become part of His church. Now, how faithful are you to this vision? How obedient are you to this vision? I like what Apostle Paul said. He said in Acts 26, when he was brought before King Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Don't you think that Paul and everybody else, like the disciples, had a vision to plant churches? Oh, come on. Same Lord, same Spirit. Don't you think the Holy Spirit said to them, boys, I want you to go plant a church there. Now you go to Ephesus, and then you go to there, and then you go there, and you guys go plant, and you guys go in that direction, and you guys go in that direction. But Paul didn't say he was faithful to that. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. How obedient are you to the heavenly vision? How faithful are you to the heavenly vision? The Father wants you to be obedient to the heavenly vision. In Daniel chapter 9, 23, Daniel was in a hard position. He was thrown into the lion's den. The hungry lion stared at him, but he prayed and fasted. And the Bible says then God came through for him. It says at the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. You know, so many of us want breakthrough in our lives, but we can't even fast for 5 days corporately with the church. Here he was in a tight spot, and he needed God to speak to him. So he went into prayer and fasting. In that same time, the angel came to him, said to him, it took us 21 days to break through heaven's battles to get this message to you. 21 days we fought day and night to get this message to you. He says, and this is the message, and you need to understand the vision. Friends, I want to tell you that God wants you, your Father in heaven, wants you to understand heaven's vision. He wants you to understand this church's vision, and he wants you to know that that is all from him. If we gave you a vision and we didn't do what we set out to do, if we didn't plant churches and the church didn't grow and we were all spending the money or doing stuff, then you could say, hands up, I don't believe these guys. They are not from God. But when you look at us and you see, but these people are serious about God. They make disciples, they train up pastors, they release pastors to plant churches. Then you need to understand the vision. God wants you to understand heaven's vision, number one, but also the church's vision. And that is the two main things in your life. In Acts chapter 16, 10, it says, the vision from heaven is to be preached to the gospel, to the city and the nation. And we are unashamedly going to do that. Paul said, I am unashamedly going to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every city and every nation. Do you know how many cities we have in this nation? Do you know how many people we have in this nation? So we have much work to do. Much work to do. We can't sit around. We can't play games. We can't wait for another generation to rise up and to be the church. We have to take up that authority. We have to stand into those boots and say, this is what God has called us to do. We will take this mantle and we will run with it. Today I want to share with you 12 points of vision for 2016. 12 points. Number one, the first vision is to plant a new church in the UK. That is going to happen February 1st when we launch CRC Edinburgh. You can give the Lord a big hand. The vision for 2016 is to plant a new campus in Northwest London. New campus in Northwest London. It is our vision to have 3 campuses in the city. We already have 2. Before June, we're going to have a 3rd one in Northwest London. The vision is to have 800 home sales by September 2016. 800 home sales all over the city. The vision is to have 4,450 members in home sales by September 2016. The vision is to have 1 visitor for every Sunday per home cell. 1 visitor per every Sunday per home cell. The vision is to equip every leader, Tuaishi, and potential leader for effective service. So we don't just want to leave you in the dark. The vision this year is to take every one of our home cell leaders, Tuaishi, potential leaders, and to train them from the band to the districts, wherever you are, departments. We want to make sure that at the end of this year, at August 2016, the end of August, we have 1,000 leaders that went through leaders training, so that we are all on the same, how can I say, wavelength. That you feel equipped as much as possible to be effective serving God in His vision. Church, this church is not my vision. It's not Pastor Art's vision. It is ultimately God's vision. Amen. And thank God for him and Pastor Noretta that gave up their lives to pursue this. And now there's thousands and thousands of people all over the world that are part of this godly vision that came from God. So how do I know it's a godly vision? Because God's vision is to preach the redemptive message and revelation of the Son of God to every nation. That means to win the lost at any cost. That is exactly what we do. I don't know why you still doubt. You should be thankful that we are part of so a move of God, that we have something great going in and among us. The vision is to make sure every member have an understanding, member have and understand the DNA, the vision, and the goals of our church. So we want every member to have the DNA and to understand the DNA. We want every member to have the vision and to understand the vision. That means you made it your own. We want every member to have the goals and to understand the goals. Why do we have a goal to raise £1 million every year for our building project? Because we trust God that we are building a church for generations to come. We will want to create a place that is big enough for us to have multiple services into the thousands in the city. God is already moving. God is already busy. I cannot tell you more. All I can say is God is setting you guys up for great things. Now, I can't say more at this moment, even though I want to. But why do you give towards it? Why do you step out in faith over and above what you already give to make this possible? Because there is a generation out there that wants to know that God is alive. And we have to create the place where they can come to week in, week out, for years. Eventually, the place will be anyway too small, but it is going to be big enough for us for now. The vision is to have a church where every member is a giver according to what they have. It is the vision. It is the vision. 2016, it is the vision to make sure that every member in our church is a giver according to what they have. Do you hear what I'm saying? You make me have to make sure that you get on God's thing. Because in this church, the vision is for every member to be a giver. Yes. I know that you are now very uncomfortable. The vision is to have a church where every member is challenged to live in faith as we all should do. Let me ask you a question. Is your life characterized by faith? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now, can the people around you see that your life is characterized by faith? Is your life in the faith lane? Now, if you don't know, then take me for Starbucks. And I will set out a time where I see every one of you and you can ask me a simple question. Pastor, is my life in the faith lane? Then you need to be ready. Because you think I don't know. I know exactly who you are. I know where you are. I follow many of you on Facebook. I see how you are one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Many of you, I see what you are doing for God and how your life is going. I know because I laid my life down for people. It is my responsibility one day to stand before Jesus and give account of every person that came in and through this church. Right. I fear Him. I have a reverential fear for Him. I know who I'm working for, and I know who has appointed me. And I don't fear man. I am here to do His work, and I need to give account of your life. So I know who you are. I know what you do, and I know what you're not doing. And now I'm asking you, is your life in the faith lane?
Yes, amen.
If you don't know, let's go for Starbucks. And I will sit down and look at you and be very honest to you. I will ask you a few questions. I will search a little bit deeper into all the other stuff that is needed. And then I will honestly tell you, because at the end of the day, the Bible said, the just shall live by faith. They shall live by faith. So we need to make sure that you increase in faith. Jesus spoke to His disciples. They looked at Him as you all look at me now with eyes like this. He said to them, oh, you of little faith. He says, how long should I be with you? You can be with Jesus and still have no faith. They were smart, and what they said is, they didn't moan, groan, and said, I'm going to leave this chap. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. You know, if your faith increases, your mountains become less.
That's right.
You don't become a mountain dweller. You became a mountain speaker. But if you don't have faith, it's going to keep you dwelling around the mountains, finding demons around every corner, seeing everything bad and everything worse because you don't have faith. So it is our responsibility to help you grow in faith. That's why every time we do a faith project, so like giving, it is to help you to give in faith. How many of you are giving because you can? You give because you can. You have to give from faith. You need to give in such a way that only faith can get you there. You need to have a vision for your life that is so big that it scares you. I'm a firm believer, if your vision is not big enough, it's not from God. You serve a big God. God wants to do the impossible through your life. He wants to change generations through your life. He wants to touch nations through your life. But unless you become a man and a woman of faith that is solely trusting Him and relying upon Him, it ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. And I'm telling you today, church, listen to me. I'm prophesying in the next 3 years, there's gonna be a financial crash that is gonna shake the foundations of the nations and every Christian. And if your life is not found in the faith lane, meaning that you are grounded in giving in faith in God and in the principles of God, your whole life is going to be shaken and you are not going to know what to do. But I tell you today, if you are grounded in faith in Him and in the principles, and He is your sole provider, God is going to raise you up in that time to be a beacon of light, to be a strong tower. And I tell you today that God has given me a glimpse. In 2008, when the recession came, we found people in our church that were givers faithfully. They were relying upon God. I know that so many of them gave out of faith. They didn't lose a job. When everybody got demoted, they got promoted. When everybody lost a job, they were given even more responsibilities. And I saw that. I even saw it in the giving of our church, that in that time of drought, when no business was growing, the church finances grew 25% year upon year. When I sat with financial advisors, they said to me, this is impossible. It doesn't even happen in companies at this moment. I said, but we are not serving. We don't have a product to sell. We're selling Jesus, and we serve the God Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God gave me a glimpse that if His people are going to keep on sowing in the famine, the Bible said God blessed Isaac because in the famine he sowed his best and he reaped 100-fold. Reap. Not reach. Reap. Say reap.
Reap.
Tell your neighbor, I want to reap. Tell your other neighbor, plant a seed. There's famine. What is your sight? What are you seeing? The Bible says that your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is bad, everything else is going to be bad. If you're going to get the devil to change your viewpoint about your church, about your pastors, about the vision, about your life, he's going to show you all the problems in the church, all the things that's not there. What's going to happen? Your whole body is going to be, your whole body, your mind will be consumed with it. But the Bible says if your eyes are good, your whole body will be good. How do you see your future? Every time God calls up these people to prophesy, every time he said to them, speak to your future. He's saying to them, speak. He showed them dead bones, dry valleys, dead as dead, dry as dry. And then he says, can you believe that these bones, man of God, can come alive? But he shows them dead stuff. You look at your life. We look at circumstances in the world. We see what's happening now. You need to read the news. It's death everywhere. Doom prophesied. I tell you today, by the Spirit of God, you need to see what God sees. And you need to believe that if you're going to start speaking to your future, you're going to soon walk into that preferable future that God has for you. If you're going to keep on sowing, you're going to keep on reaping. I tell you today that God is for you and no one is against you. That God wants you to do as he does. And that is to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith, to become a man and a woman of the word. Stand on the word. I like what Pastor Eddie yesterday said. He said, if anything around you is falling and you are in trouble, just stand. Serving the Lord, there's a time where you just need to stand. When God gave the vision in Habakkuk, he said, stand and watch. Stand and watch. So you need to stand, you need to watch, you need to declare, and you need to speak forth the word of God. Get your life in line with what God wants to do in this nation. The last point, and I'm in for a land. It says that we trust the Lord. The vision for this year is to focus every member more on Jesus, his spirit, his will, and his church. That is the vision. To get all of us to focus more on Jesus, his spirit, his will, and his plan for our lives. That's what we need to do. Get ourselves more in the presence of God. Get ourselves more in the word of God. Friends, you can't build your life on Tabu's preaching. You can't build your life on Tony Joyce's preaching. You can't build your life on Planet Shaker's music. You can't build your life on Bethel's worship. You have to build your life on the solid rock, which is Jesus. That's by having a loving, vibrant, dynamic relationship with him, where you are settled in your love for him and his love for you. You know who he is. You know that he intimately loves you. Build your relationship with him. Get yourself into the presence of God. Conform your mind and bring it in line with his will. And start seeing the true vision coming past in your life. Stop looking for a wife. Find somebody to save. Stop asking God to sort out your finances. Go sort somebody else's life first. Bring sight to the blind and open the ears of the deaf. That's what God has called us to do. To cleanse the lepers. To heal the sick, to preach the gospel, to open the ears of those who do not want to hear, and to bring sight to the blind. The heavenly vision is still to preach the redemptive message and revelation of the Son of God to cities and to nations. That is what we're going to do unashamedly 2016, 17, 18, and beyond. Till Jesus comes back. And if you are part of this church, I want you to know that you are well loved. I want you to know that you are well loved by every pastor, by Karen, myself, by my pastors as well. Do not doubt our love for you. We might not always tell you that. We might not always pat you on the back, but you are well loved. And I want you to excel. I want you to grow up, hold on the true vision from heaven. And if this church's vision is not in line with that vision, then you don't sit here. You go find a place that has that. But if this church has the true vision of heaven as the anchor of their vision, then I suggest you, as a man of God, that you now need to turn from your ways and get yourself in line with God's plan and become His workmanship, because you are commissioned, commanded, and created in Him for this work. Stop finding excuses. Stop looking around. We do not have time as the church to look around, to point fingers, and to find excuses. Our Lord is coming. There is a nation that needs to be reaped. I tell you now, this nation is ready. God is ready to move in this nation. He's about to pour out His Spirit. He's about to touch this nation like never been touched before. And I tell you, the churches and the people of God that are ready and in line with God's Word, those are the men and women God will use to shepherd and to disciple the masses. God doesn't want people to come to church. He wants them to be discipled. He wants them to be discipled. There's a different story discipling people and getting people to come to church. It is like night and day. So thank God for people that's in your life that turn every stone, that get you to pray, get you to fast, get you to give, get you to sort out your life, get you to live holy. Thank God for that. We can't be a people that only want to get you at church but keep you in your sins. Thank God. Become thankful again. If you're not thankful for Tabu, be thankful for this haven. Be thankful for these men and women that lay down their lives to serve you. And we pray for many of you that will hear God's call to fulfill the true vision that is from heaven. Many of you are pastors in the making. Many of you are couples that are vibrant, dynamic, that God is busy raising up to change other nations and other cities. Align yourself, church. Align yourself. I know I've kept you long, but I felt this message is for every one of you. Align. Let's get back. Let's be excited about what God is doing. Let's dream big dreams. And let's stop allowing the devil to come and creep in every corner to hinder the work of God. We have to be smart. The Bible says, be smart. Be smart. Be smart. God is for you. You're here today and you say, Tabo, I have no vision for my life. I want to ask you one question. Do you have Jesus? And if you say that I have Jesus, I want to ask you, are you following His vision? Are you obedient to heaven's call or heaven's vision? Because it's so easily that we lose that focus. And hey, God doesn't want you to lose focus of what is most important thing, and that is to take people to the other side. We can't take anything else. My heart desire and prayer is that one day, when we all stand before Jesus, He would say, CLC London, oh, you good and faithful servants. Come into your inheritance. Come into your inheritance. Come into your inheritance. Believe that God can do great things for you. Believe that God wants to do the impossible through you. Get a new dream for God's kingdom. Get a new passion for God's church. Right through the Old Testament, God raised up a people to bring them back to build His church. The moment they built His church, provision came. When they built the temple, provided for the temple, they got blessed. Then they got so blessed that they stopped building the church and stopped providing. Then they go into slavery again, and the cycle repeated all over. And even till today, it's a repetitive thing in the lives of God's people. Say to yourself, I am not going to be part of that cycle. I'm going to build God's house. I'm going to provide for the vision, and I'm going to have a different spirit. And every person that's in my life, I'm going to train them, teach them, and remind them that that is not who we are. We are God's workmanship. We have a different spirit. We do things our way. God's way. This is not a perfect church. Tell your neighbor, this is not a perfect church. Tell them, tell your other neighbor, Tob is not a perfect pastor. But he's close. Ah, yes. There's a lousy clap. You should have clapped more. We're not perfect, but the Bible says we shall become perfect. So we are giving it our best shot. We're giving it our best shot. Working in the perimeters that God has given us. Are you with me, church? Let's keep building Jesus' house. If you don't have vision, I tell you there's good news for you today. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And He wants you to have a vision and an eternal vision for your life. And He wants you to become part of His true vision. Thank God a few years ago, almost say something, 2000, hey, stop laughing, get me off my rocker. A few years ago, somebody invited me to church, and I knew, I tried everything. Nothing was going in my life, till I realized that I'm a sinner in need of Jesus. And when I turned to Jesus, He came into my life, and when I received Him, He gave me a vision. And His vision I hanged on to till today. And as I hang on to Him, He brings forth other visions and other things. So I want to tell you, if you have Jesus, then you will have true vision. But if you don't have Him, there's good news today. That He loves you. That He died for you 2,000 years ago. So that today, you can have the opportunity to choose eternal life. And He says, in His word, choose life. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Because tomorrow you might be dead and you haven't chosen Him. And the Bible says, then you can't be saved and you will go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. None of us want you to go. God wants you to have a loving relationship with Him. He's not calling you into religion, but into relationship. Listen to me. The time is near for Jesus to come back. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. God loves you. He wants to give you a true vision and a vision for your life, but you have to choose Jesus. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank You for today. We give You all the praise. May Your kingdom come and Your will be done. Thank You for this church and thank You for every person. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, like no man can. Wherever they are there in Abu Dhabi, that's under my voice, speak to them, Father. Help them to see the true vision from heaven. Lord, we thank You that we are Your church and that You love us. And You came to die for us so that we can have life and life more abundantly. Right now I pray for those who do not have You as their Lord and Savior, but they want to have You. They believe today that if they have faith in You, that You will change everything, that You love them, and that You gave Your life for them. And if it's you that I'm talking about, but all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and you say, Tabu, that's me, I want to be included in this prayer, then I want to ask you, can I please pray with you? And wherever you are, if it's you that want to be included in this prayer, then I want to ask you to just slip up your hand so I can know where you are and to pray with you. Thank you. I see your hand in the front. If you've put it up, you can put it down there in the back. I want to tell you right now, listen to my voice. God is calling you. He's telling you, come back home. And right now you can hear His voice and you can make a good choice. If it's you that I'm talking about, you haven't put up your hand yet, you know you should, then I want to ask you right now, slip it up high while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed so we can pray for you. In the front over here, thank you. Another hand, thank you. Jesus loves you, He cares about you, and He has a great plan and future for your life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website, www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.